The after party starts
right now. What's up, everybody? Welcome in to the after party, the all new show from House Party Protocol, featuring me, Will, and my good friend Nate from the Gamers Guild. What's up, Nate?
Not much, Will. Just getting stir crazy at home. How about you?
You know, a little bit of the same. I have a 5-year old, and let me just say that 5-year olds do 5-year old things all the time, at all times. And the people that we send him to at school, those people are clearly saints because they can deal with that a lot better than I can, I think.
I believe that. I've got a couple of nephews who are driving my in-laws crazy right now, so I understand.
Yeah, but, you know, it's worth it to stay COVID-free.
Amen.
So some of you out there might be wondering, what is the after party? Well, if you listened to the last episode of House Party Protocol, Nate and I discussed how House Party Protocol is trying to go weekly. And we talked about it, and what we decided to do and what we thought might be cool is to kind of have two distinct shows. So we've got our House Party Protocol show where we're going to deep dive into announcements and stuff like that and talk about new releases and all of that kind of stuff, do more tactics discussion in a general sense over there and kind of keep that like what it is. And then we decided, hey, you know what would be cool is if we take a retrospective of some of the characters that have been out for a while now. And we're going to start with the core set and just kind of work our way through. And the idea being that by the time we get to something that was just released, such as the Guardians of the Galaxy and Star-Lord, that we will be long down the line. You know, Star-Lord will be old hat before we get to him. So yeah,
I was going to say, by that time, we might be getting to finally get our hands on this awesome new Ghost Rider model that just got revealed.
Well, there you go. Way to jump the gun, Nate. Way to jump that gun. That's cool. You know what?
Jumping the gun or smooth transition. You decide.
Yes, you decide. I'm going to go with, I'm not good at the segues. That was Greg's job. So, yeah, that's another thing we're going to talk about on After Party is some news, and one of the news that we got was, yes, a sweet Ghost Rider reveal, and holy shit, it looks so good.
Looks awesome. Popping a wheelie, everything.
Oh, yeah, and I saw somebody posted on Facebook when we posted the picture to our House Party Protocol Facebook page. Somebody was like, yes, and each individual link has to be glued on that chain, and I was like, that would be so ridiculous.
Did you see the one about the fire?
No, which one was about the fire?
So basically the same idea of like, and you have to glue each every individual flame on, and then Dallas Kemp got to respond, and it was wonderful.
Oh my gosh, I bet that was great. I need to go look at that. Yeah.
Search function, and yeah.
That sculpt is amazing. Like, it looks amazing. The flaming wheel, all that stuff, the wheelie, the chain being slung around, and we don't have any confirmation on this, but it certainly looks like he's on a 65 mil base. I mean, why wouldn't he be?
Mm-hmm. With the bike and stuff.
Fucking motorcycle.
Yep.
And so I also posed this question. It's very obviously a Johnny Blaze sculpt, but when they just revealed the wheel, I was like, so is it Johnny Blaze or Dan Ketch? And I'm glad it's Johnny. I know other people out there aren't glad it's Johnny, but I'm so glad
it's Johnny.
I felt
there was never really a question. Who was the other guy you just mentioned? I don't even know about his stint as the Ghost Rider.
Oh, Dan Ketch. He was Ghost Rider in the 90s. His bike is super cool, I will say. He has a super cool bike, but I like Johnny. And I mean, shit, there is only one King of Hell, and it's Johnny Blaze.
Yeah, Spirit of Vengeance, all the good stuff.
That's right. So another thing that we had revealed from Atomic Mass Games that is pretty amazing is the new Hulk Ultimate Encounter. It's literally called Ultimate Encounter, The Incredible Hulk. Will Schick revealed it on a live stream last week. And have no fear, we will be breaking down this Ultimate Encounter on a future episode of House Party Protocol. But we just wanted to say that, hey, it's announced. It is on the Atomic Mass Games website, and it does look super fun. So definitely go and check that out. And then also, I said a while back that we were going to do another giveaway when we got to 500 likes on our Facebook page. And guess what, Nate?
You get there?
We got to 500 likes on the Facebook page. Woo. So we are doing a giveaway. Now, this giveaway, I originally had said we wanted to do whatever the next model to come out was. Well, because Gamora has been delayed with all the COVID stuff, I actually have a Star-Lord, Rocket, and Groot pack. So what I'm going to do is give away all three of those models, but the Star-Lord model has a special surprise. So have you... You've been on the Facebook group a while now. You know guy Mark Fielder?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So Mark Fielder, for those of you that don't know, is an incredible painter. Like, seriously good painter. And he has done up a Star-Lord miniature for us, and that's going to be part of the giveaway. You'll get a commission-painted, essentially, basically a commission-painted Star-Lord, and then a Rocket and Groot pack as part of this giveaway.
That's pretty baller.
I'm pretty excited for everybody to check it out. And yeah, so I'll be posting that in conjunction with this episode, which will come out be on Thursday. And so yeah, stay tuned, be ready for that stuff. And hopefully we keep growing and this thing keeps popping off, as it were.
Absolutely, man. I'm excited for the growth of the channel and everything that kind of comes with it, or I guess the podcast. And
yeah,
excited to join you on this wild ride.
Now, Nate, what is the meat, the minutia, the marrow, if you will, of what we're going to talk about on this show today, other than those two news things?
Oh, the news things are great, and it's one of the reasons I'm really excited that to go weekly with this so that we can catch everything without this kind of weird hiatus in there. But we are going to start diving in to our two fearless leaders that we've had since the beginning, Captain America and the Red Skull.
Woo woo! So I'm really excited to do this retrospective because I think it's really easy to look at characters that have been around for a while and they've kind of maybe somewhat slotted into their role, maybe sort of kind of developed a little bit of a meta in a sense with what their role is. And so I think it's kind of fun to go back and look at some of these and think about where we were before the game even came out with these characters and where we are now. So, Nate, let's start with Captain America. And what were your thoughts just reading his card when it came out at Gen Con and all of that before the game was even available for us to play? Like, what were your initial thoughts on him?
So my initial thoughts was I didn't know how good I can do this all day was going to be. I knew that he was going to be a little bit more of a tankier character compared to the other things that we had seen out there and kind of running that support role with the bodyguard were the things that had first popped into my mind. What about you?
Yeah, for me, I'm kind of with you as I didn't realize just how tanky, quote unquote, he could be. I thought that shield throw would be more valuable than I think it has proven to be, at least in my experience. Mm-hmm. And just in general, I underestimated the power reduction that his leadership ability gives, I think.
Yep.
So what surprised you when you got Captain America on the table?
So what surprised me is after getting some games in and reading a little bit about how he works is that a turn is each character's activation and not just the general round as we have come to know it is what an entire game round looks like as opposed to each turn is a character's activation, which means that the reactive abilities get so much more value out of his superpower than we originally thought.
Mm-hmm. I think that's very true, that much more value out of his affiliation. Like, it's every single turn, every time you activate a character or your opponent activates a character, that reduction can apply, which
yep.
I think is just, that's something like you that I did not understand when I first read this card. And even in my first few games, it took me a while to kind of wrap my head around that. So there are other characters in the game that it says this ability can only be used once per round or something like that. For instance, Thor's leadership ability.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I kind of, yeah, lost some of that. So The next thing, Nate, is what do you think Captain America just does well?
Well, I would say that our first impression of him that we when we just got to look at the card, our first impressions were correct. He is extremely tanky. I can do this all day. When he flips over, makes him even that much more so tanky. And he loves playing that support role because he's able to bodyguard once each turn for only one power as long as you're running Avengers, which if you're running a Captain America, you're more than likely running with the Avengers.
Yeah, more than likely indeed. I agree. And for me, he is tanky. He can soak up that damage, but I think what he does well is just being able to be a target, if that makes sense. So, you know, if you've got a character that you want to protect that maybe has an extraction objective that you're trying to keep, or that is more of your damage dealer. So, for instance, I bring up Thor again, or Hulk. Hulk would be a good example. If you want to kind of protect a Thor or a Hulk, Captain America is a good candidate for that, because rolling four defense dice on physical and energy, and with Vibranium Shield, if you have the power for it, it's generally hard from just basic attacks to take him down, even on his healthy side. Like, you're right that when he gets flipped, I can do this all day, where his blanks count as successes is better, obviously, but I definitely think that he's pretty tanky, and he really, just being a target, I think that's what I want to come back to, just putting him out there next to a Hulk or next to a Thor so that he can absorb the damage for those characters that you want to be able to get out and get into the fray. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's kind of along with that, the other thing that I think he excels at is, or does well, is he does really good on a secure objective. He can protect some of the other party members that are on that objective with him. And he also has a guaranteed throw of size 2 or less in one of his attacks.
Yeah, that shield slam is pretty good. Pretty good attack. I haven't found myself using it too much, but I will say, for 2 power, it's not a bad attack at all.
Not at all.
So, Nate, what would you say is his faults? Like, where is Captain America's faults lie as a model in this game?
So there are 2 things that stand out to me. And one of them isn't really a fault, but it is one of his built-in weak spots. Is he can easily take damage just like everybody else from having things thrown at him and mystical attacks. 2 places where you need to be able to hit him to bring him low. And the other thing that I think is a little bit of a fault, but with as good as he is at everything else, he kind of needs this fault, is he doesn't have a lot of damage output potential for a 4-threat character.
Yeah, I have to agree with you, especially on all of those points. But that second point for sure, I mean, his 5 dice strike, I think, is pretty average. That's average amongst a lot of characters. But it's, you know, it's range 2. It does have the push on a wild. But, like, I think more often than not, he's not going to be in that range 2 area. And this applies to Shield Slam also. Getting him in that range 2 of an enemy character, I don't think, is where he's going to want to be. That's why I think Shield Throw, only being 4 dice, yeah, it's range 4, but it's only 4 dice. It's tough for me to do consistent damage with him in terms of how I generally use him. And that's, like I said earlier, not up in the thick of it, but as protecting other people. So I use him to position him to where he could protect others more so than attacking. And
And it's good that he has the Shield Throw, because once you get him positioned where he's going to be helping out his teammates, he's able to at least usually get a Shield Throw off every round. So there's potential for being able to hit a character, maybe 2 if you get lucky with that wild. But it's not consistent, as you had mentioned.
Exactly. And I find that funny because, shit, in the comics, man, that shield does some damage.
Not to say that I haven't seen it do work. In the early games, running demos and stuff, I remember people just playing pinball with their opponents' heads, with Captain America's shield being that ball just ricocheting all around and getting a couple of dazes and KOs with it.
That must have been pretty fun. So to bring it back to your first point, though, the anyone that's listened to the House Party Protocol has heard me say, how do you deal with Captain America? You throw shit at him. Seriously. That is how you deal with him. Now, anything thrown at Captain America is going to do a more consistent line of damage than any attacks will. And especially once he's on his injured side. Like, you completely negate his I can do this all day ability if you throw stuff at him. Completely negate it. And then also, you negate Vibranium Shield. So if you want to deal with Captain America, the way to do it is just to throw things. Even if you are throwing something that's size 2. Because when you throw something that's size 2, it goes up to size 3 on the throw, you know. So I guess it doesn't go up to size.
There's a chance of getting a damage pushed through, maybe even 2 if you get lucky against his 4 dodge dice at that point.
Exactly. And yeah, rolling 4 physical defense dodge dice is strong, but I think more often than not, you're going to get 1 or 2 through, and that's something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you've got those big buildings out there and you got those big, heavy hitters like Hulk and Thor out there that can throw something, or MODOK, for instance, that can throw a building that's pretty big.
Yep. Do a Chuck a Daily Bugle or exactly. Something along those lines. It's going to put out some hurt.
It is. And yeah, so I do think that that's probably his biggest fault. So, Nate, let's talk a little bit about where Captain America fits in with, like, within his affiliation. So, obviously, he's the leader of the Avengers. You have to run him to get the Avengers affiliation bonus, which is a power reduction on all of your superpowers, like you said earlier, once per turn. But does it make any sense? Like, are there any combinations that you think are more powerful than others with him?
Absolutely. So the key thing that I look for on any new superhero to see if he's going to be a good fit within the Avengers is if they have reactive superpowers or superpowers that could be reduced to the power cost of 1.
Yeah.
And the perfect examples for this are, so far at least, Venom and Vision. Vision is able to reduce a lot of his superpowers, all of his superpowers actually, down to 1. So that means he's being able to throw for just 1 power. He's able to use his defensive rapid phasing, thank you, for just 1 power. But the really important part is the reactive nature of being able to get that power reduction every single turn. It's usually off of somebody attacking, or maybe Bucky with Got Your Back, but being able to get that reduction multiple times makes it extremely efficient for being an Avenger.
Yeah, I think you nailed it, man. Like, I think that's kind of what I look at too when I'm thinking about looking at new characters, or whenever we're talking about new characters that are revealed or something. I look at it and I say a character like Hela, right? Hela doesn't have any superpowers that have a cost. All of her shit is something else. You know what I mean? So, like, putting her in Avengers, while you could do it, it's not going to net you the most efficient use of that character, I don't think.
Yeah, nope, I completely agree. Another thing that not everybody knows, so heads up to everybody, it's in the FAQ, but not everybody looks at the FAQ, is this superpower is not able to reduce the cost of any of the X costing superpowers.
Exactly.
So like MODOK's infinite wisdom, or whatever the title of that superpower is that lets him reroll dice.
MODOK's genius is infinite.
Yes, that's the one. And Shuri's upgrade, both of those cost X. Unfortunately, don't get that power cost reduction on those.
Yeah, and that makes sense. I mean, because they are variable. Like, I get it. That you don't want to give away something for free, I guess, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Because
yeah.
It is to a minimum of 1.
Right. So that, I think, is a good point, too. And, like, running Shuri with him, with Avengers, is something that I do, because she's still awesome regardless. Because things like super genius wouldn't matter for her, because that's already only one power. But I still think she's really good because of upgrades being able to pass out power around. But she isn't the most efficient character to run with Avengers.
No.
So
still good, just not necessarily one of those things that you look at her power set and are like, oh, she's going to be a perfect fit.
Exactly. So the last kind of point on Captain America, or the question, is has anything come out since we got the core set that has made him better?
I'll let you answer first on this one. I'm curious what your thoughts are.
Well, yes. I think the answer is yes. And I think it really becomes, when you look at it, like tactic cards are really where the new releases have brought about the shine. And one of those would be Thunderwave. I think that it makes, when you put him with Thor, Thunderwave, while I don't generally use this personally, I think it does make him better. I think it's better than Ricochet Blast, personally.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's a cool ass card. And then I also think that something like Till the End of the Line has massively improved his survivability. One of the things that you had to worry about with Cap was getting pushed away from whatever character that you wanted to bodyguard in a round. And especially with the bringing on Shuri into the game with her guaranteed push, it made that more difficult to stay where you needed him to be, right? So
absolutely.
So Till the End of the Line allows you to basically not be pushed, and when you're right next to a Winter Soldier, you get to combine their defense values when defending against physical or energy attacks,
which can boost it very high, because then on top of that, you can still Vibranium Shield to just get a ridiculous amount of defense dice.
Exactly. So while defense dice aren't as consistent as attack dice, if you're rolling 8 of them, I mean, you know. Yeah,
and then he can do this all day, so all those blanks count too. It just it gets absurd.
It does get absurd. And so I think that Winter Soldier being a character that has come out that has really improved Captain America and makes me want to play Winter Soldier with Captain America. And then one other card that I think that's come out recently that I think brings a big improvement to Captain America is Field Dressing. I think it's an expensive card. It costs 4 power to get out, but being able to remove the Daze token and get 1 health back on a character like Captain America so that he can bodyguard again. Again, the idea being keep your big heavy hitters, your important characters alive. Like, I think Field Dressing is another card that has made him stronger.
I can see that. It's not one of the first things that came to mind, but I can definitely see that. For me, one of the things that I think has made him better is just the additional release of new Avengers and actually really strong Avengers as well.
For sure.
Thor is very notably one of the stronger models. He is 5 cost threat.
Hey, he's the strongest Avenger, okay? It says so on the card.
He's the strongest Avenger, which Hulk kind of scoffs at, but that's another episode. But you still have a very powerful character in Thor to release that has that affiliation name. You have Black Panther, who came out, who adds a great objective player to the Avengers. And you have Vision, who is just another strong, versatile beater that has that Avengers affiliation. So just these additional releases has definitely upped the value of the Avengers affiliation as a whole, I think.
Oh, 100%. 100%. And I think that a character like a Vision specifically with the flexibility that he brings is so good. And man, I love me some Thor right now. He's so awesome. And he's everywhere these days.
Oh, absolutely.
So final thoughts on the Captain America. Where is he now?
2 thumbs up. He's great. I've been an Avengers player since day one, and that has not yet changed.
Yeah. And you know, I don't see him going anywhere.
Nope, they're only getting stronger. We know that Black Widow is getting that second expansion along with Hawkeye, and it has been hinted at that Hawkeye is going to have that affiliation as well. So
I mean, come on.
Hopefully, yeah. Like, how could you not?
How could you not give Hawkeye that affiliation?
So hopefully we just get to see that roster expand more. The only other thing I would say is Cap seems fine, but I'm hoping in not too distant future that we see a secondary leader come out for the Avengers.
Yeah, I'd love to see something like that too. I'd like to see secondary leaders for a lot of other affiliations, actually. I think that'd be really cool. But that's a conversation for another time. So now let's go to the dark side of the Captain America coin, if you will. And let's talk about the one and the only Johann Schmidt Red Skull, Nate.
So Hail Hydra.
Hail Hydra. So, Nate, I'm going to ask you kind of the same questions here. And what were your thoughts about Red Skull before you played any games?
Just getting to look at his card and kind of get the idea behind him, what I thought was that they very well balanced Red Skull versus Captain America, where Captain America has these defensive abilities, Red Skull has these offensive abilities. That's a little bit more aggressive with the leadership ability. He has a few more ranged attacks that have a chance at dealing some actual decent damage a little bit more consistently. So that's kind of where I had Red Skull in my mind. What about you?
Yeah, it's funny because I actually saw him as a beater in a lot of ways, and I saw him as kind of being up in the thick of it and absorbing some good damage and putting out some damage, and I saw him as fairly hardy with his 6 stamina on his healthy side, because that's a little more than other characters, one more.
Yep,
than
he's 6 and 6, so he's got that full 12.
Exactly.
So absolutely.
And then with his Hail Hydra ability, kind of being able to pass off damage to someone else, I thought he was going to be really heavy damage dealer.
Absolutely. So let me twist it around. And what then surprised you about Red Skull once you actually started getting to play him?
Well, the biggest thing that surprised me about him is he's way more of a control piece. Like, he's way more like battery for his team than I thought he was gonna be. You know, like I don't ever use him for fighting very much. Like, he'll pop off a cosmic blast every once in a while, or if I get a bunch of power on him, I'll unleash the cube maybe, but it's one of those things where it's like more often than not, I'm just kind of using him to kind of power the rest of the team. Or for his affiliation bonus, which gives you 1 power every time you damage an enemy.
Yeah, just having that ability on the field is so fantastic for so many different characters out there as well.
Exactly. So that was probably the biggest thing that surprised me, is just how much more of a support piece he really is. What about you, Nate?
100% agree with that assessment. You talked about being a battery a little bit with the Cosmic Cube ability that guarantees him a net 3 power every single turn. Does cost an action, but for 3 power, gives him a whole bunch of different abilities that he's able to use with some of the Team Tactic cards. Not to mention the Master of the Cube, where he's able to just straight up bamf your teammates into better positions, whether it's a slower character like Crossbones, helping him get into the middle of the fight a little bit quicker, or somebody with a huge base like MODOK, who suddenly gets a huge move up the field so that he's able to start laying out some devastating bombs earlier. He's so much more of a support piece. His Cosmic Blast, I've never really had do a lot of damage, but that sap power on it has definitely stolen a power or two multiple times for me. And Unleash the Cube in the right situation, it might damage one character decently, but really you're just fishing for that wild to be able to throw it in there and throw the stun condition on multiple enemies.
That's right. Yeah, it's for the stun. That's what you want with Unleash the Cube. And the stun is an ability where basically if you have the stun condition, you can only gain 1 power whenever you would gain power. So it's a super powerful ability, especially on somebody like Thor or Hulk. You want to stun the shit out of them. One of the things that I thought from, like, I thought he would be more in the thick of it, so I thought his strike with a wild push would be more valuable, but I can't remember the last time I used a strike.
Yeah, can't say I do either.
Yeah, so what does Red Skull do well?
Well, I think we just kind of talked about it a decent bit, and he's a really phenomenal support character in a little bit more of aggressive ways. He's able to use Hell Hydra not just to protect himself, but to make sure somebody else has a little bit of power. It's a little bit of a riskier way to make sure that they have power, but it's a good way to mitigate some of that, being able to move around some of his own characters and just providing that extra power for something you're going to be doing in the game regardless and attacking.
Yeah, I agree. I think that basically what he does well is he gets his team where they need to be. Like that's kind of where I see his most utility is his Master of the Cube ability specifically, like you talked about, in moving a MODOK forward or Hail Hydra. And I don't play Crossbones, but if I played Crossbones, Hail Hydra onto Crossbones, Crossbones can then get that thing where he moves up the board. I'm not sure what the ability is off the top of my head, but the one where he moves closer to the person that attacked him, you know, stuff like that, like being able to kind of facilitate the team. And especially Master of the Cube, that teleport is insane. Yep. And it's so useful, I think.
I'm very curious if the Space Gem, once we get it, is going to do something similar to that ability, because so far we've seen the other gems kind of play out like other superpowers we've already seen, and how much threat it's going to cost if it is like that.
Yeah, and the ability I was thinking about on Crossbones is aggressive. But yes, the Space Gem, I'm very curious if we see basically Master of the Cube, but just the text on the card.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, Nate, I guess the next question is, what are his faults?
There isn't really any particular fault I find with him. His defenses are average, so that there's nothing really wrong there. I've definitely Hail Hydra attack that was supposed to not KO the person I Hail Hydra'd it to, but definitely lost a couple of full health Baron Zemos to a mistimed Hail Hydra.
Oh man, doing it to Zemo.
Yeah.
That's living
mistakes,
dangerously.
Mistakes were made.
Living dangerously.
I thought with the reroll and everything else that he's going to be okay, but you know, sometimes five dice just do more work than they should.
It's true.
The big weakness, I think, is once he does get injured, he becomes a little bit less efficient of a battery because he begins to take a little bit more damage on his Cosmic Cube ability, but there's not like a glaring chink in the armor or something for you to go for.
Yeah, I think overall, whereas with Captain America we talked about, it's to me it's a weakness, but the weakness of the throw against Captain America kind of neutralizes what he does well. Whereas with Red Skull, there's nothing that really neutralizes what he wants to do.
Yep. And I will say they're kind of along the same lines of Captain America, where we mentioned Cap doesn't really have great damage output. Red Skull still has the potential to, but he's not able to really play the role of a support character with Master of the Cube or Cosmic Invigoration, which is a card I think just has to be talked about alongside Red Skull.
I was going to get to that, Nate.
Oh, dang it.
Spoiler alert, we're going to talk about Cosmic Invigoration. Anyways, continue on.
As we should. All of his big damage attacks cost a decent chunk of power for the Unleash the Cube, so he kind of has to straddle the line between, am I going to be a big support piece out there healing people, re-upping them, moving them around, or am I going to be able to contribute something to the fight myself?
Right, and I think you make a really good point there is if you're using Red Skull to put out damage, I think that's maybe a misuse. Like, I think strategically, obviously, anything is viable. But in terms of what you want to do with him overall, I think you bring up a good point there. So now that you've spoiled it a little bit, obviously there is a tactics card that if you're running Red Skull, if you don't have it, you're making a mistake, right?
And this is one of the few things that I can, in all honesty, just say. If you were running Cabal and Red Skull and you don't have that tactic card, I cannot think of a reason that you would not run that tactic card.
Right, and that's Cosmic Invigoration, as Nate said earlier, and basically what it does is if someone has already activated, you can play this card, and they get to make a second activation. And it's pretty cheap.
Yep, costs 3 power. There's a chance of damaging the person who...
No, Nate, it costs 2 power each. So,
ooh, even better.
Even better. Exactly.
There is that offset chance of dealing a little bit of damage to them, so you don't want to do it to a character that only has 1 or 2 stamina left usually. Again, be a little bit more risky, play like me, and try it, but you could definitely have that backfire.
Just kill a Zemo, why don't you?
Kill a Zemo, kill a Hulk. Oh! I got close.
Oh, man, killing a Hulk, that's had to be a blow.
Didn't get there. He ended up with 19.
Oh, nice.
But definitely a risky play.
Definitely. So, anyways, Cosmic Invigoration is an ability that, or a card that, it's so good. Because basically, if you have a list of characters that's 5, you've got 5 activations, you effectively, on 1 round, you have 6 activations. And
that extra activation is usually your strongest character.
Exactly. And the timing of that, it's always one of those things, kind of like Age of Ultron card, that's like, if it's sitting there, you always have to be aware that your opponent could play that at any time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think, one of the things that's so good about Red Skull and the Cabal in general as an affiliation is being able to get characters to keep going, to push them a little further, you know?
Yep, get that extra little bit out of their use, for sure.
Exactly. So speaking of the affiliation, we talked more about Captain America's affiliation bonus than we have about Red Skull so far, but what do you think the biggest... Because these affiliations, I think, to a lot of people, seem very similar, the affiliation abilities. So Captain America's, like we said earlier, reducing the cost of a power by 1 to a minimum of 1. Red Skull's is... gaining 1 power whenever you damage an enemy. So I think a lot of times people see that as kind of the same thing, but it's not.
It is very not so much close, and they play out really uniquely compared to each other and the play style of the characters that you want with that. So we already mentioned that Captain America is going to be looking for some cheaper superpowers or reactive superpowers. Will, what would you say you're looking for in a character that would synergize well with Masters of Evil?
So, with the Cabal and Masters of Evil here, Master of Evil, I want a character that's going to be putting out damage and consistent damage. So, for instance, Captain Marvel, I think, actually fits really well with Cabal when you look at her Energy Blast ability, because you're only rolling 4 dice, but you get to re-roll as long as you don't have skulls. You get to re-roll. So... that's a consistent attack. A character like Shuri would play well because she's rolling 6 dice on her basic attack. Yes, it's only going to do 1 damage in the overall, but the likelihood of doing that 1 damage is elevated, right?
And all you need to do is 1 damage.
And all you need to do is 1 damage, so then she's going to get a power from the attack, a power from Cabal, then she can use that to upgrade her allies, which is what you want her doing. So characters like that, characters that can consistently get damage. I think Hela is incredible in Cabal because she has a mystic attack called Claim Soul that rolls 6 dice. So again, the likelihood of getting that power to facilitate other things, especially with Hela tactics cards, I think that those kind of things are what you want most with a Master of Evil Cabal team, is just consistent damage. Now, obviously, there are other characters out there that still work well here, like Killmonger, it comes to mind as a character that works well with Cabal. But just in general, you want people that are rolling more dice or being consistent with their damage output.
Absolutely. I do want to take a step back real quick. If you, with the soul tokens, if you spend them at the beginning of the attack, you get to add an additional die, getting to get up to 7, 8, possibly even 9 dice on a claimed soul attack without any other modification, just from Hela.
Yeah. So yeah, either way, just that kind of stuff, I think, is just what is good about him and good about that affiliation. What about you, Nate?
I think it's one of the best affiliations that anybody can fall under and enjoy it. Yeah. I think there are definitely characters who enjoy it more, characters that are able to get off multiple attacks in a turn, like MODOK, who has his Doomsday Chair that gets that follow-up of Whirling Blades, or any characters with area attacks or beam attacks like Vision, who is then able to get a power back for each character hit from Master of Evil.
Oh, yeah. I think that's definitely don't want to undersell that, because being able to do a beam attack and for each person hit by the beam, you get a power if you do damage. That's just so good.
Yeah.
So what kind of characters, what has come out since the core set that you think makes Red Skull and the Cabal in general better?
I will say I don't think there's been as much added to make the Cabal better as there was for the Avengers, just as far as general characters. Mm-hmm. But I think that Killmonger has been a fantastic release, because he is already this character that absolutely loves damage output, and he jives very well in the Cabal because he's a member of the Cabal, but also because his thing is attacking. He wants to charge in there, get off as many attacks as he can, and then he even more so enjoys being able to benefit from Dark Reign within the Cabal. So I think that's my number one pick for the after release that really synergizes well with the Cabal. What about you?
Yeah, for me, it's MODOK. I mean, obviously, he came out right with the core set, basically, and he was essentially a core set character in a lot of ways, but he was an expansion. And MODOK, to me, is the biggest boon that the Cabal has seen to date because of his mental ability, his mental attacks ability, which is generally lower defense on most characters, and then his ability to throw things. So in terms of just straight Cabal, there's not a lot of throwing in just straight Cabal. Like, you've got Ultron that can throw terrain, not characters, but then you've got MODOK who also can throw terrain and not characters, but still, I like the throwing. And I think MODOK just brings a lot to the Cabal table. And then incorporate into that Recalibration Matrix, I think, is a really great card. Not necessarily Cabal specific, but I just think it's a great card.
Yep, and it's one that comes with MODOK, so it's exactly. It adds that extra value to the affiliation. So let me ask this. I know you already mentioned Captain Marvel, but I'm curious, do you have any other characters that you think play extremely well in the Cabal that are not a Cabal member?
Well, Thor, obviously.
Really? Okay.
Thor, because he wants to do damage, and you're going to be able to power him up so fast. So I haven't tested this theory, but when I look at Thor and I look at what Thor does and I look at what Thor wants to be doing, I think Thor in Cabal is very interesting because of he's rolling 6 dice on his strike. He's throwing things. So I think that sounds really good. And then if you can get a God of Thunder attack off, I mean, you're powering him up hardcore.
Yep, because on, what is it, 7 dice energy?
7 dice area.
Seems that very likely that at least one person is going to be taking, or at least everybody should be taking 1 point of damage from that attack.
Exactly. And then another character that I think is very fitting within the Cabal that's not on the card is Venom.
Mm-hmm.
I think Venom is really good in Cabal because of, again, you want Venom to have power. Like, Venom needs to have a lot of power to do what Venom needs to do, and that is specifically to so many snacks followed by We Are Venom. And that costs 5 power.
Yep, Venom definitely synergizes well with either getting more power or getting some power reduction costs.
Yeah. What about you, Nate?
The two. The one standout to me, because Captain Marvel is actually my first pick.
Yeah.
We already talked about her a little bit, but with how it works out, if she's able to energy blast twice, get in those points of damage. That's 4 power a turn just from those attacks. You get the 5th power from the beginning of the power phase.
Binary.
And that means she's able to binary every single round.
Yes. A binary Captain Marvel is hard to deal with.
Not to mention that surely somebody needs to put a stop to that, so they'll try to get in some damage on her, just giving her more power to be able to throw and other things. But so Captain Marvel is a great pick for them. My other pick is actually Hulk.
I figured you were going to say that.
Yeah, the main reason is because Master of Evil is able to get him power, and Hulk does not have any other way in the game so far to gain power off of his attacks.
Right.
And so just being able to get that additional power generation on him for the throws, for the gamma leap, for the thunderclap, all synergizes very well with him, kind of for the same reasons as Thor, but I think Hulk gets that extra little bit of benefit because he doesn't have ways to generate power otherwise.
True. Spoiler alert, I knew you were going to say Hulk, that's why I didn't want to say him. I know how much you love Hulk in your Cabal list.
Oh, man, that and for the same reason that Thor works really well, Cosmic Invigoration on either of those two characters or MODOK or any big hitter is just disgusting.
It is. So, Nate, I think that about wraps up our very first after party.
It does. And what an after party after the normal party this has been.
Yeah, I think it's pretty good. I really like this. I think it's going to be fun. And it's fun to kind of go back and look at these guys in a more interesting way. And Nate, where can people find you?
Yeah, absolutely. People can find me over on YouTube at the Gamers Guild. And if you have questions or want to reach out or anything like that, make suggestions. I've actually gotten a few suggestions recently, and I'm working on those videos. I'm very excited for. Reach out to me on Facebook. You can just find me under Nathaniel Gerard or at the Gamers Guild Facebook page.
Awesome, awesome. Yes, you can find House Party Protocol on Facebook at House Party Protocol Podcast. You can email us at housepartyprotocolpod@gmail.com. One of the things that we want to do with this show is kind of fan interaction, get you listener questions. So what I think we're going to do is announce what we're going to talk about. I think that might be what we want to do going forward, is announce what we're talking about and see if anybody has any questions about it. And you can email those, like I said, housepartyprotocolpod@gmail.com. Also, Facebook. Send us a message on Facebook with your questions. We'll do it there, too. And that's, those are the best ways to find us. And don't forget to check out, if you're interested in some really great pre-painted terrain, Blacksite Studio. They just released some more versions of their contraband boards, which were specifically designed for Crisis Protocol. They have a city one and a park one. And I don't think
they look gorgeous.
They are amazing. I have the city one. It's amazing, let me tell you. And I don't think that our discount code will work on that, obviously, but you can check those out. And that's House Party 15 for 15% off individual items over there at Blacksite Studio. And give those a look. Those guys are awesome over there. So, guys, make sure to subscribe to the podcast here and Nate's YouTube channel, The Gamers Guild. And also, leave us a review. It really, really, really helps other people that are looking for Crisis Protocol content if we get a review. And hopefully 5 stars. I mean, obviously, right? Right, Nate?
Absolutely. 5 stars.
5 stars. So,
sometimes, but mostly 5 stars.
But mostly 5. Anyways, I think that about does it for the after party. Yeah, we'll talk to you soon. Peace.
Peace out. What are you still doing here?
I don't know.
Go home. It's over. The show's over.
Show's
just
over.
Just go home.
Get out of here. Go home. Get out of here.